That was good. That was great. Thank you. Made us all smile, which is a good thing. Really good thing. Janet Kenzie asked me, I read out of this book, Igniting Furious Love. It's a compilation of different people like Ron Baker, Will Hart, and Robbie Dawson. They all wrote a chapter in this and put it in. And I got it as a gift with some other things that I ordered. So I read the chapter by Roland Baker, and it was really good. It really impacted me. And I shared it. I shared it in one of my messages. Janet said, hey, could you know that book you read out of a while back? And I'm like, I couldn't even remember the name of it. Oh, yeah. She goes, could you get me a copy of that? Like, sure. So I ordered it. I have it in my office. I've got to get it back up to her before she leaves church. And I'm like, well, I should read more of the book other than one chapter, you know, while I'm waiting for it to come, you know, just like, and I picked it up and I started reading this chapter and it wrecked me, like, and I kept going back to this. It stopped me. And I've been sharing, I've had a lot of those kind of things lately. And I spent the end of the summer and all fall working on the foundation of my house, and I knew I was in trouble. Because anything I'm doing, the physical, manifests in the spiritual, like it's all connected. And I'm digging deep in my house, fixing things that are like, oh God, everything was just so, nothing was simple. And it all needed done. So as I'm doing that, I keep going, I'm working on foundation, like, you know, sub stuff, way down stuff, you know, and fixing things that have gone wrong. Things that I had no idea. I knew there was something wrong, but didn't know how deep it went or what it was. So, presumptuous sins, things we do that we're not aware of, things that are going on, and they all affect our lives. So, that in itself is a lesson. Like, so we pray this prayer, search me, O God, and know me. Because I might think I'm doing okay, but what if I'm not? And so we trust the Lord to deal with us. We don't like it. We scream and cry when he does. But better here than there. Better now than, later. So I'd never heard of this woman's name before, Shamba Rice. She's got to only be this big. Because there's a picture of everybody that's in the book that wrote a chapter, and she looks like a child sitting in the middle of them, and I believe she's from India. She wanted to be like Mother Teresa. She begins to write this book about her journey to find the Lord and to find her purpose and her destiny and what she was going to do. So she ends up in the ministry, of course. And she begins to write about a situation, and this is what wrecked me. And she's talking about experience the love of God, which we are so accustomed to the wording that we're immune to it. And she begins to say, I ask, I beg, I get desperate, I will not do anything until God fills me with his love. That's what happened to me 9 years ago when I found out that it's worthless to preach the gospel, simply worthless without the love of God. So here I was at a conference in Punjab, which is one of the northern states in India, with hundreds and hundreds of women sitting there, and I was doing what Christ told me. Shampa, S-A-S-S-H-A-M-P-A. Shampa, you will speak nothing. That's a bad word to get from the Lord when you're the guest speaker at a women's conference, especially a women's conference. Even the guys could handle it better, but women, they need words, lots of words, right? Okay. Lord, it's a conference. They've all come to hear me. How do I go about this, Lord? I mean, it's going to be really, really silly if I say, I have nothing to share. He says, oh, no. You're going to have them make a line, and then you're going to tell them all you're going to do. All you're going to do is hug them. So she has all these women get in a line, and instead of speaking, she begins to just give them a hug one at a time. So, oh, well, that's easy. That's a good one. You just hug people. It's so wonderful. As I stood there and hugged hundreds and hundreds of ladies, one after the other, they would fall on the ground and weep their guts out and start sharing things. They shared about their abuse at home. They shared about the trauma they go through. And as I'm hearing it, I couldn't handle it. I thought I was going to go crazy. I knew that I didn't have what it took. I knew that. I knew I was not prepared for the kind of sorrow and trauma that they were going through. Have you ever reached that moment in your life where all of a sudden there's a ringing in your ears? And if you've been close to a breakdown, it is real. You don't forget it. Like, things start changing. You're even impacted physically. I remember one night coming home from Ravenna. It's dark. It's about this time of the year. I know exactly where I was on 76 getting off to get on Route 14, that exit. And Phyllis is talking to me, we're right in the middle of people leaving and this drama we went through whatever years ago. And it had all been hard. And man, all of a sudden, I got a ringing in my ear. And I'm like, I'm driving my truck. And I just like, I set the phone on the seat. And I mean, I'm like, wow. It's a bad feeling. It's real. And these women were having this kind of reaction from a hug because it went so deep in them, the love of God impacting them, and all the trauma was coming out and all the things that were suppressed. And she's there ministering, and I know that feeling when it's, you get to that moment where I can't handle this. It's too much for me. I don't have what it takes to endure the just observing the trauma, just watching, just being close to it. This is real. She didn't know what she was going to do with it. That kind of sorrows, trauma. So by the time we were done with the hugging, it was 2 a.m, and I looked at the translator, the pastor's wife, and said, I have to go to my room. I'm feeling really sick, which I was. I was feeling so sick in my heart, and I said, would you kindly continue? She said, yes. And so I ran to my room, locked the door, screamed at God, you have to do something inside of me. I don't have what it takes. Did you hear them tonight? Did you hear their stories? I can't handle it, I said. I'm limited. I do not know how to hear them and keep saying in my head, I feel like I'm going crazy. And I told God, you've got to do something inside of me. There is a lack. I don't have what it takes to bear this. I need something more. I don't have something, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm lacking, but I know I don't have it. So whatever it is, you have to give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to stay in this room. I'm not going out. I'm not going to sleep. And I'm just going to keep standing here screaming at you. God is not offended with that. It was like getting God in a headlock. Try it sometime. It works. It's great. So I continued to scream at God, look, those ladies are crying out to you. They're not crying out to me because they know I don't have the answer. I know you love them, so give it to me, whatever it is. All of a sudden, the wall became a huge screen, and in this screen was a tiny heart, and then this big hand came with a big, big jug. Inside the jug was a pinkish color liquid. And then the voice of the Lord came, "Shampa, watch what I do." Wow, this is incredible, I thought. Then the jug started pouring the liquid into the tiny heart, and the heart got bigger and bigger and bigger. Even though more of this liquid was being poured in, the little heart did not burst. It simply made room. "This is incredible. It's like a balloon, isn't it?" I asked. He said, "No, it's not. Shampa, it's not a balloon. It's your heart." I said, "Oh, and what is it you're pouring?" "It is my love." That is enough. If you never preach one more time, God said, if you never ever share one more time, or if you never see the blind eyes open one more time, and you never see the dead being raised, and you never do any deliverances ever again, but if you have my love in your heart, Shampa, that is enough. That's all I care about, for my people to beg me for my love and nothing else. You would do enough. That's all you need. I fell on my face. I didn't know when I fell asleep or what time it was, but I got up in the morning, ran downstairs. I have been going downstairs ever since. God keeps me from getting overwhelmed. He said, "You just keep begging me, Shampa, and I will keep filling you, and you will be able to handle it every single time. You will never feel like losing it." I said, "All right, I trust you, Lord." So he has been giving us children. Lots and lots of kids are at risk in India. About 300 girls every month are being sold to temples, Hindu temples. In one tiny district alone, 300 young girls are being exploited as temple prostitutes or sacrificed before the goddess. Children as young as 4 years of age are being horribly abused. What can rescue them if not God's great love? Anything less will not be able to keep them. Yeah, you can rescue them, and that's fine. Then what? Will they be better off? We have to have His love in order to make a difference. Otherwise, don't rescue them. They can only have a better life if the love of God is involved. Otherwise, there is no better life. That's a hard thing to hear, especially for us Americans. We think we can go save the world, don't we? We got the stuff. We've got the money. We've got the equipment. We've got the military. We've got what it takes to go rescue everybody on the planet. Let's get a good plan and let's go rescue them. Here's the word that's saying, and then look at our young people in our wonderful country. The kids in third world countries, unless they're actually starving, they're happier than ours are. Why is it that we have this whole culture of people that have everything they, and still it's not enough? And still they're in torment, and still they're killing themselves, and still they're abusing themselves, and still they're captured in every type of addiction imaginable to men. Because our stuff is never enough. Anything without the love of God is not enough. They can only have a better life if the love of God is involved. Otherwise, they're is no better life. And then I had to ask myself a really tough question. Have I ever experienced the love of God? Have I experienced it? I'm very focused on preaching our part, what we should do. Even to the extent that there's absence of Jesus, preaching Jesus in my messages, I'm going through the history of it. Things I've had to adjust, look at, see. Like, that's a no-brainer. And yet, I tend to go to what we should do. Even to this most basic commandment, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And the second is like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Who can argue with that? Who can refute that? That's the greatest commandment. However, we still have a problem. Some wise person at some point said this. We've heard it. Don't know where it came from. It takes God to love God. I've nodded my head yes and had no clue what that meant. It takes God to love God. Reality is, without Him loving me first, I really don't have the capacity to even obey the first commandment. Do you? Can you? Do you? We hear this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Do you? And if you really try hard, how do you? And we know by obeying Jesus and following His instructions and believing His, there's everything is comes to us, but what is the reality? Have you experienced the love of God? Or are you walking around in a void? I woke up this morning with a scripture because I didn't plan to share this. I was going to preach on, share on something that was safe, not this. I'd think about it. Am I going to share on this Sunday? I'm like, I don't really know anything about this. I think, you know, I have the memo notes on it, but the reality of it, I don't know if I could even share. Do I know this? Do I even have this? How would I share it? But I'm stuck with this. Like, what is this? Here was a scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, I know this theologically, but who initiated this thing? What came first? You must get this. You must get this. Who loved first? You know, it's like when there's a fight among our kids. Like, okay, who started this? Who aggravated this? We start our, you know, as parents, we're doing our investigations. Yeah, all right. Who threw the first punch? Who stole the first toy? You know, where did this start at? I see you're, you know. Who loved first? Why would we ever think for a moment that we can do anything without knowing and experiencing His love and having it poured into us? Having trouble loving people? You will. Because you aren't enough. You don't have enough. On your best day, you're not enough. We pat ourselves on the back and we love lovely people. I just love them. Well, sure you would. Why wouldn't you? They're nice to you. They give you gifts. They smile when you smile. Like, I love those people too. Let it be someone that's hard to love. Let it be someone that offends you. Let it be someone that crosses the line of what you would not tolerate, like all the horrid things that we're hearing about right now. How do you love a sex offender? How do you love a human trafficker? How do you love these really hard to love people? But if we fail to love them, we're not seeing what we're made of. And the Lord tells her that. It's like, if you don't love that, you have to understand that thing runs right through every one of our hearts. The ability, and he says to her, if it wasn't for my love, you wouldn't be any different than them. We're all capable of the most horrendous things that we think are disgusting. We're all capable of that. You know, one day you wake up and you go, oh, Lord, given the right circumstance, I probably could make all those mistakes. I mean, we don't want to tell the friends or relatives that, but given the right circumstance, a set of circumstances, and given the right situation where you're in a pinch, you're hungry enough, you'll steal. You're desperate enough, you're tempted enough, you're in the situation, you're homeless enough, you're despairing enough, you have a lack of some basic things, you'd be amazed at what we will do. And so it's required of us to forgive and to love and to have this outpouring. So I was sitting sharing this with Phyllis this morning on the couch, and I'm like, what is that scripture about the love of God being poured out in our hearts? Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I'll read a few verses preceding that. And again, I'm in the Passion Translation. Starting in verse 1, we're going to get to verse 5. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us and now declares us flawless in His eyes. This means we can enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. Verse 3, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will redefine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope, in verse 5, is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The New King James Version for that verse. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I want to submit to you that the people that were listening to this, the people that this letter was written to, identified with this because they had experienced the love of God being poured out in their hearts. I submit to you that we try to be Christians before we know this love. We try to follow Christ without knowing this love. Not all, but we do. That becomes a missing element. The different ways that we come to the Lord and make these decisions. Follow Christ and to join the club. You know, the things that we do. And we get focused on that instead of being encountered by a love that fills our hearts. We were never to try to function without it. It was to be the entrance level. This is what we, this is where we started at, that we know that the love of God has been poured out on us, and that we know that we have that experience. Here was this woman who was in the ministry, and you come to that point where what you have is not enough. We all do. We come to that place, we go, I don't have enough. I need more. I need something beyond this. I've run out of my ability to love people. I came to a limitation. There's not enough horsepower for it. There's not enough volume for it. I can't do that. We come to our limits. And sometimes you get exposed in it. And we're actually, it's expected, and the Father waits for us, and He does this through His Holy Spirit, which is what this verse actually says, through the Spirit. The love of God is poured out in our hearts. Have you? Don't answer, don't respond physically, but I do want you to ask the question of yourself. Have you experienced God pouring His love on your heart? Have you experienced that? You may or may not have. A lot of times we're walking and confessing and professing Jesus, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying we're running on our own steam. Bless our hearts for trying hard. And we're trying to do this without really knowing his love first. It changes everything. It becomes the reservoir. It becomes what you tap into instead of tapping into your own self and trying to control yourself and trying to behave yourself, trying to not do all the wrong things. Is Christianity reduced to that? Here's your list. Try not to do this. Try to keep your temper. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't rob banks. Don't, you know, down the line. Like, okay, Pastor, we're gonna do better this week. Less of this and less of that, and more of this, and you know, let's go. We can do this. And we're in such turmoil. And why are we mad at life half the time? I'll tell you why. Because life is exposing what we're really made of. That's why. That's the rest of the story behind I had a bad day. Oh, it exposed you, huh? It revealed you don't have the patience you claim to. You don't have the love that you claim to. Don't have the faith that you claim to. Oh, that one really hurt. That hurts me all the time. Like, busted. I'm having a paradigm shift. I'm like, y'all are going to have a meeting. Like, I don't even know if our pastor's even born again. Like, wow, it's bad shape. Keeps exposing these things. I'm not sure he's even American. Like, you know, let's have a meeting. Impeach him. Okay. Had to throw that in. Okay. Only there might be real grounds. That's the problem. Okay. Song of Songs breaks out, first verse. By the second verse, let him kiss me with the kisses of his lips. And the allegory begins, but it is this picture of what we're like, I don't want to study the Song of Solomon's. You better. You better get this. And I'm taking a second look at all the things I should know. I have the head knowledge, but wow. I'm like, oh gosh. So again, another really great book, The Sacred Journey by Brian and Candace Owen Simmons, that wrote the Passion Translation. This is so good. And he begins to interpret the devotionals based on the Song of Solomon. It says, this is what every heart cries out for, the divine kiss to consume their soul. Men or women are like, this is that kiss. I love this. I love to see fathers that are intimate with their sons and their little ones. And even people that you don't think would be affectionate, even men that you don't think that would be affectionate. Like, he's not in here, so my son-in-law and his father, they are so affectionate with each other. You would never know that if you knew. If you knew Ryan and you knew Ryan's father, you just wouldn't think it unless you observed it. Like, oh, they're really close. They're really close. They don't hesitate to say I love you. And, you know, they're just affectionate, openly affectionate. It's awesome to see. We think it's only reserved for women and girls. But what is in the garden from the beginning? What was a father and son relationship supposed to look like? That's where the lack of affection usually shows up. That's why I'm using as an example. I mean, some of you are like, oh, I don't even know what that would look like to be affectionate with my father. I mean, honestly, that's how wounded we are. That's how abnormal we grew up. We're not even sure how to even think about it. Like, let's move on. True? It's that foreign to us. But this beautiful picture of the God of all creation, he creates the man. Brian Simmons calls him the clay man. I The spirit kiss is a metaphor that speaks of sacred intimacy with Jesus Christ. The most powerful gift God can give to the human spirit is his kiss. His kisses, the kisses from God, impart the deepest longings that could ever be given to the human spirit. His divine kiss is the only answer of why we were here on earth. It is what made Adam, the man of clay, into a living expression who was created in the image of God. That was the difference. That was the difference. Dust and deity mingled when the master kissed his spirit breath, into Adam. And we grow up in this church mentality, and intimacy is gone, isn't it? It never existed in the church. Passion was gone. That was reserved for the world. That was reserved for soulish people. And we got ripped off from what and who we were really to be. Excuse you. Drunk on turkey hats. Okay. And then he goes on to say, there are places in your heart that will only be healed by divine romance. We keep trying to fix people and they need the love of God to pour over them. This is so amazing what happens when you're touched by love. It's so powerful. And yet it's like a reserve that's untapped. We try to fix things and minister to things and come up with programs and throw money at it. We try everything else. And we're so hesitant about just ministering and believing the power of God pouring his love over a person that's broken. And if we can get that, if we can minister that, I mean, this is the real goal that we carry. You can't carry it if you've not experienced it. If it hasn't poured out on you, if you really haven't experienced the Father's love and that outpouring, you can't carry it. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give somebody a cold if you don't have one, even if you're in faith. We're like, yeah, it's funny because we're always in the opposite, like, oh, yo, don't get around me, I've got a cold. Well, how about this? You know, like, hey, get around me because I got the love of God. Like, it's been poured out on me. I am messed up. I encountered that love. So run into Abba's arms today and abandon yourself completely to him. If you could ask for anything in prayer today, this is what you should ask for. Smother me with kisses, your spirit kiss divine. Notice the Shulamite doesn't ask for a sermon or for success or for him to tell her how great she is. She doesn't ask for a reward or for information, and she doesn't even ask for a miracle. She simply wants to be kissed by the king. You know, I didn't realize how unique of a story it is. It really is amazing. The story of the Shulamite, who wants nothing but his kisses, who has nothing but the intimacy of knowing him. And we get hung up on some of the language, but it is a metaphor of receiving, being washed and touched by his spirit. And I believe we should really, really cry out for it. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. We need this. I need this. I need to stop in my spiritual walk and say, before I go any further, I need to receive this love. Before I go any further, I need to have the love of God pour out over me. I've experienced a lot of things in the Spirit. I don't know that I've experienced this. And how different I would really, really be, the differences that I want to be, the different me that I seek after, the free me, the liberated me, the abandoned me that acts like Christopher Milo and is not afraid to tell anybody that Jesus loves them. I sat in a steering committee at the school this week watching him and sharing and laying out a plan for how we're going to implement some of the things that he wants to bring. And he's bringing kingdom stuff. Like, that's what he wants to bring. And finding how many people they are genuinely care about these kids and their life. And they're talking the things that I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, this is what it's really all about. And Christopher is leading this, and people's hearts are being awakened. People that you wouldn't even think would talk like this, all of a sudden, if one person will be brave and step out and start following their heart, if just one, it boom, pop, 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 like, oh, there's more of us than I thought. It just takes someone to be courageous to step out. And sometimes in life, I know this is true of here. Begun, we've tasted it, we've touched it, and then life happens and we got separated from it, and we're disheartened. There's nothing we do if we don't have the love of God that's going to matter anyways. And all any of us have to do is to, number one, experience it in the first place, and experience it as much as we possibly can, and then experience it again. Because we continually need more of this. This is the transforming power. You get this in you, you really start carrying the love of God. I love this. Shampa said, this should be effortless. We should do healings by walking up and hugging people. I'm like, oh yeah. She goes, we're trying to conjure up something when we're praying. I'm like, oh, are we ever? I believe, you know, and then, you know, what is it we do? We squint our eyes, we get facial expressions, we're like, you know. And she goes on to tell her story of how she just loves people. She just loves. And again, her hero was Mother Teresa. That's who she wanted to be like. She was thinking about running away from home and joining a convent and being like, once you get in, once you're a certain age, even your parents can't get you out. That's the story. I'm like, oh, that's scary. There's a void, and if we don't get this, we're never going to touch the world, because the needs out there, they're big. They're deep. They're actually more than what we can handle on our best day. But the love of God is more than enough. And so it changes everything if you go, I want to start from this place. Even before I try to love God, I need to truly receive. What are the tells in your life? How do you do when you look in the mirror? I'm not talking about, you know, is your hair right and your, you know, did I shave today? But if you struggle with looking at yourself in the mirror, looking at you, you got issues. Only the love of God can take care of. There's a lot of self-hatred going around. There's a lot of disgust and despair, and if you've been trying this Christianity for a good while, you got a truckload of failures that are following you around. And when you started out in the grace of God, you're now like, wow, I've screwed up too much, too long. It shouldn't be. We should be the most full of grace, full of favor, full of love of God people on the planet. And we can be if we make this our focus and our focal point and we start crying out for this. This is the only thing that's going to satisfy. This is the only thing that's going to really take care of the deep, deep need, the deep stuff in our lives. It's the only thing that's going to. I'm going to. Adam, I'm going to put my phone on. Phyllis has been playing this album. I bought the Lauren Daigle's album. Can I pull the plug? And at first, she's like, she's listening to it a lot and really ministering to her, and I'm like, I wasn't catching it. You know how you don't dial in? And it's like, yeah, it's good. I like Lauren Daigle. That's good. I'm going to go listen to something else, you know, that kind of thing. And the album's called Look Up, Child, and this is the dance that Eliana did that was Rescue. You think? Got it. He said, make sure it's on airplane mode so we don't pick up any, yeah. And so, okay, I'm going to start. There's just some songs here. I'm going to start playing this. Like, just, if you want to come up and get prayer, I'll hug you. We'll hug each other. I don't know what to do, but I know we need this desperately. If this shows up, we start seeking this with all of our hearts, a lot of problems are going to go away. A lot of things are going to change, and they need to change. Okay. Just close your eyes and listen to the words.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough.
Close lights. Those big ones.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
To experience that you first loved us more than ever, that you initiate love, that you want to pour out on us.